Yeah, I was having a shit.
Is it recording?
Yes, it is indeed.
Cool.
Hello, I'm Tom.
And I'm Ed.
And you're listening to Kimmy's Toilet Break. This is our first attempt at our F1 based podcast.
Yeah, there's some F1 podcasts out there, but there's none that
quite as misinformed as this one.
Yeah, exactly. We thought there was really a gap in the market for one that was fairly badly informed, probably quite offensive.
A bit sweary. We're also sparing our colleagues on Monday morning chatter about F1 by doing several hours of it.
Yeah,
today,
we thought rather than spending the first hour of every week talking about F1 at work, we would record it and do it at the weekends in our own time.
So. Yeah, and then listen to it all week.
Yeah, so forgive its almost guaranteed chonkiness, poor editing. I'm sure it will get slicker.
Yes.
But for now, we hope you enjoy it. So this is the podcast for the Japanese Grand Prix.
Nice early start.
Early start, first race in. So Tom has sped over here straight after the race, so it's still fresh in our memory, slightly bleary-eyed.
Yes.
So we will endeavour to give it our keenly observed analysis and insight, which hopefully will bring something.
It should be more insightful than Eddie Jordan. So
set the bar low.
Yes. So here goes. Before we start talking about the race at all, we have to talk about Lewis going to Mercedes. When it first happened, I said, and I, as always, put my misinformed opinion on Twitter straight away, saying I thought it was quite a canny move. It's like, that's quite
for
good.
For him or for them?
Well, for Lewis, because of the engine reg stuff. But then everyone reminded me that actually McLaren just buying
Mercedes engines. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, yeah, they're going to be really good at
McLaren.
Making
are thinking, with the money we save from Hamilton, we can afford like the top of the range
top
engine
of the range
in 2014.
Engine.
We might have to go for the 1.2.
But I guess what they're saying is they're going to have been experimenting with the engines, with the new chassis.
Yeah, and they've already got them in their production cars and things.
Yeah, that's just it. And Mercedes have got much more experience with low capacity engine tech. They're going to have more.
I still think, you know, McLaren are still McLaren, and give them a year and they'll be as good as anyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you remember that Mercedes team was Braun, it seems like a much more sensible idea. But when you just think of them as the last 2 years of Michael Schumacher stacking it into the back of people and Nico Rosberg just being incessantly mediocre.
Yeah.
It doesn't inspire you with confidence. I think McLaren will be pissed off, but I think they'll be less pissed off than Lewis will be in a year when he's in a shit car with an average teammate. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, personally, I'm quite pleased about it because it means that I can unambivalently support McLaren without there being some complete motherfucker there that I really object to. But because he's English and, secretly being pleased when he crashes.
Yeah.
So now we've just got Perez and Button, and obviously being a Button advocate, that's good.
I'm pleased with Button because, like they were saying this morning on the pre-race stuff, he will be so pleased that Lewis is gone because he will be number one. Sergio's 10 years younger than him, proper rookie.
Yeah, he said that in the interview, didn't he?
But I do like Sergio as well, so I think that's a good move.
Yeah, it's always a bit hard to gauge with some foreign drivers just because they're obviously really media savvy and they get trained a lot into not being like Lewis, basically, and throwing their toys out the pram. And it's harder to infer when they are because there's not so much like subtle intonation. So with some of them, it's hard to judge what they're actually like, but from everything that I've seen so far, he seems like a decent chap.
Yeah, he does seem like,
obviously he's a really passionate racing driver. We might see, like when he's in a McLaren and he's got a chance to win a race and it's not just a bonus to win a race and someone fucks him over, I can imagine him being suddenly a bit Alonso-ish.
Yeah,
a bit, you know.
Maybe.
But we won't second guess him.
No.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be really good.
I think it'll be good. It was... Well, I mean, everyone said it's a bit of an unusual
choice. But, you know,
choice.
Was it too early for Schumacher to leave Mercedes? got short in his prime again.
That was brilliant. It was, Michael's announcing his retirement. So, yeah, got the hint, clearly, then. Well done, Michael. Yeah, we've replaced you already.
Yeah, in the press conference, just 10 minutes after they'd announced Lewis, and go, well, actually, turns out I'm leaving as well, so it's actually quite good timing for me,
well
as it goes, because I was going to leave anyway. It's always the plan. I just Yeah, and they did say that on the BBC. They said, you know, he could have done it with... Oh, no, actually, it wasn't the BBC. It was Johnny Herbert. So, it obviously completely undermines this sentiment. But he's saying he could have done it with a little bit more dignity if he hadn't waited until...
Yeah, I saw that as well.
...his replacement before going, yeah, so, actually,
I'll be going then, shall I?
Nico, are you going to... No, me? Okay.
I'll be going.
Okay, then.
But they said that Hulkenberg and... De Resta were very much in the front. That was quite candid, I thought, McLaren, to say that. Martin Marsh is saying, oh, yeah, these two
did definitely in the frame. That?
He said that in the interview. He's like, yeah, it was close between Paul and Hülkenberg. But I think...
Perez, I think, has been the most exciting driver out of those ones to watch, but arguably not the most consistent.
He's not the most McLaren-y as well, i.e. a bit dull at times. I mean, I do... They are kind of quite a clinical sort of team. You could see the rest of sort of fitting in the personality-wise.
Yeah, wouldn't you put Jensen in that bracket of, like... I know he can be amazing in his day, but he's essentially he's a really consistent driver, and that's why McLaren have gone for him, is because they know that with Lewis occasionally pulling out his arse when the car's not very good, Jensen will always be there, and he's like the perfect teammate for anyone. That's why I kind of wasn't that surprised when I heard them talking about Ferrari. I mean, Jensen wouldn't like it, but you'd have to think if he'd been there this season, they'd have the championship sewn up with a number two that was just banging in fourths and fifths and the odd podium instead of...
just so much material to come with Felipe.
Don't really know where to start with Felipe. We'll come on to that later, maybe.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's nice that it shakes it up a bit.
It's definitely a good thing that it mixes it up, because the grid has been the same for two seasons now.
And they were doing the kind of, oh, what do we think is going to happen about... Because as soon as one person moves, especially a big name like that, there's so many bits that then need to move around to fit around it.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So Brundle was saying the rest are to Ferrari, maybe. That's what I thought.
Didn't they say there was a brilliant bit with him and Anthony Davidson doing it on their unnecessary technology using the Skypad?
I saw that.
Should we lock him in? Let's lock him in. It's not a fucking game show. So we'll just email this to Bernie at the end and wait, sit back and wait for it to happen. But they concluded that it would be Hülkenberg that went to Ferrari.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, there's a few names in there.
But then Massa, he's just had a really good race. And inexplicably, De Montes Emelé seems to... Oh, he's his bitch, isn't he? He hasn't knocked in his sex dungeon.
He did. Well, he was very, like, after the race, like, does this mean he's going to stay? Like, I've got to go now, see ya. But they seem to be saying that Massa's going to stay there, which just seems completely...
I would be amazed.
Mental.
Like, at certain points this season, at the end of last season, it was just when, not if, wasn't it? And it was just... Every interview with Alonso seemed to become less and less sincere. With him going, oh, I love having Felipe as my teammate. So, well, in a way, it was more sincere because he really meant it. But he was like, oh, yeah, it was really good as a team.
Like, it's been the height of bitchery, like when they sent him out. Can you go and make some clean air for Alonso now? Just totally.
Oh, yeah, the slipstreaming thing. That's pretty humiliating.
But talking
so
about
I've decided now, you're more use as an aerodynamic aid than as a racing driver.
That's the level it's got to. But talking of Anthony Davidson, just before I forget, they had him around the paddock around the Grand Prix, and apparently Anthony Davidson is quite big in Japan. I beg to differ. He was smaller than most of them there. I was like, here's
boom, boom. Sit down, Davidson.
No, stand up. Oh, you are. He's a tiny man.
Do you know what? You've just made the joke that Johnny Herbert made. That I was like, oh, that's a bit... He's going, oh, he's big in Japan. What if... Totally fucked it. What does he say? He said something like, oh, I'm big in Japan too.
It's bigger than Anthony.
Yeah,
but he has got the most narrow... I don't know if it's just the angle that they film Anthony Davidson from as well, but just making him look like his shoulders are incredibly narrow as well. It's like, you can see why he's a racing driver, but I think... Yeah,
he's just trying to sell himself to all the team.
Like, come on, look how tiny
I am.
It's not
like they're backflips into the car.
Yeah.
Easy.
I mean, they were getting enthusiastic over a Super Aguri as well. It's like, oh, yeah, when I was driving around.
It's like, which car's yours? Like, yeah, that one with Jensen's name on it, and then this one over here with Takuma Sato's name on it. They're both cars that I drove right. So you were number one driver then, my friend. Good work.
Oh. So I went a bit off-piece there with Anthony Davidson, but you had to. Easy first target. Done. Yeah. on the list.
So Lewis to Mercedes, I mean, it was, I think you pointed out, it's Eddie Jordan that broke that story.
Well, I think he's claiming it.
Do you think he's claiming the story, or do you think he's claiming that he made that
happen? I think he made it all happen. It's a bit like last week. Was it last week? It was last week, the Ryder Cup, wasn't it? Monty.
How could you forget? When I won, back when I won, I just know just how Jose feels.
He was just completely claiming it for his own. But I don't think I'm going to be able to watch the BBC's coverage, just because I think it will be Eddie Jordan going...
I'm pretty sure
I broke this. Pretty sure I was the one that led to this. But, I think he was single-handedly responsible for that move.
So, moving on from all the transfer ins and outs and to this weekend's race. So, obviously, as a Jenson Button fan, pretty annoying that he's got a gearbox penalty.
Poor Jenson.
Obviously, Lewis gets one free because he's crapped out. And I did like it that McLaren said, the good thing is that, he's had to take a penalty, but it's because we know definitely what it is. So, we've kind of prevented it happening now. I've worked in some kind of, technology in some manner. There's no such thing as we've definitely worked out what went wrong.
It's never a case.
I reckon there's a fairly reasonable chance that
you're
could,
bloody clear.
Yeah, that they went, well, better be on the safe side. Anyway, so it pisses me off that drivers get a penalty. It pisses everyone off, I think. They always go on about it on Sky, that drivers get penalised for the team's kind of... lack of reliability or misfortune or whatever, and it's not the driver's fault, and then they pay for it in the race. So I've devised an amazing system whereby this doesn't happen. What I reckon should happen is that if a team needs to change an engine or change a gearbox or anything that would normally incur a grid penalty for the driver, what they should do is work out what the maximum number of points that grid penalty equates to. So if it's a 5-place grid penalty, that means you go from, say you qualify first, you get moved down to 6th on the grid with a 5-place penalty. First is 25 points, goes down to 8 points if you finish 6th. So that's 17 points they're effectively docking that driver at worst. Worst case scenario. So what they should do is maybe take either those points, that being the worst case scenario, or like half of the worst case scenario or something, off the team from the Constructors' Championships.
Actually,
and then the constructor takes
sense.
A penalty for it because it's the constructor's fault. And 17 points in the constructors isn't so much because it's only one driver. So you could just, if it was a 10-place grid penalty, then, first to 10th, that's 24 points. So the constructor loses 24 points. Now that's still... a big kick in the nuts for the constructors.
It does seem
a lot
fair,
of points, but then the driver can still have their ace. And if you support a driver, you don't have that like annoying thing of watching qualifying, knowing that even if they qualify first, they're not going to start there. And I just thought that would be a better way of doing it. So
that does sound good.
That's sorted.
Yeah, well, that's that done, right? Anyone got Bernie's email address? Do let us know. We'll get straight on to him about that.
I don't really know who to tell.
Well, I'm sure Bernie will be listening to this.
Yeah.
It does seem harsh when they pull out a really good... Well, the other thing, though, is if they replace a part on the car and everyone else is, trying to eke out a gearbox or an engine and someone just waltzes in with a new engine, they are going to have an advantage in qualifying.
That's very true.
I think maybe they've thought about this. I don't know.
But, then,
but I still think we should propose it.
Yeah. We'll leave them to iron out the details.
Yeah.
It's not our job.
We'll just
to worry about the
intricacies.
Exactly. Revolutionaries, they just have to create the fuss, All the students protesting. It wasn't going to solve anything. Just have to have these impossible ideals and shout about it enough that the grown-ups can take care of it. So.
Someone who knows about this sort of thing, take it to the next step.
Yeah, basically, we don't want drivers being knocked back because their team has fucked up their game.
No, what we mean, we don't want Jenson Button being knocked back.
Yeah, if it's Alonso, that's fine.
That's absolutely fine.
Jenson was fastest in first practice, which was nominally good, and then Webber in second practice, which was less so, and I have no idea what happened in third practice, even though I was still awake when it started. I fell asleep, and then I totally slept through qualifying and had to watch that late. What happened in practice?
I have not got much of an idea. I watched some highlights of it on the pre-qualifying thing. I'm not really into the practice session, I have to say, because you can't read a massive amount into it. It's interesting when they've got new aero parts and, the effects know, sometimes they have really negative effects. So
I like
kind
it
of
when they paint the cars in bright yellow paint.
Yeah, the see where the kind of aero, where the air is falling over the car.
I just like it when they paint Ferrari yellow.
Oh, yellow. That's brilliant. The thing I did see was De Resta and Schumacher both spinning
was
out into the wall.
Didn't Hülkenberg stack Hülkenberg it as
well? Stacked it as well. I don't know if it was the same place. It might have been.
He totally
actually
smashed his car up, actually. Yeah. I remember seeing that.
Because both Force Indias were, they were like, oh, it's quite unusual for both of them to need repair. And they were talking to Paul De Resta saying, oh, have you seen how they're getting on? He's like, I'm staying the fuck out of there. They're really annoyed with us. both cars. So it's going to be fucked today before qualifying. No, sorry, so no, they're not speaking to me.
Qualifying, I was, I slept through it.
Well done, Ed. Good effort. Yeah. First weekend of the podcast.
Pretty dedicated. I did wake up. In fact, what happened was I fell asleep.
Actually,
with
I forget it was very early and it was Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I actually recorded and watched it about 7 in the evening.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Take that back.
Yeah, no effort. So I fell asleep with practice 3 on and then I woke up. I put my alarm on for 7 because the race was on at 7. I thought practice was on at 7 as well. I woke up and the stream was still going on the Sky Player. So I woke up just in time to see Vettel climbing out of his car with it in the podium slot. But I was half asleep, so I thought, oh, you know, maybe he's getting into the car and they've just mixed it up for this race.
He's really, really enthusiastic to get into that.
So he's just parked it in Parc Fermé overnight. But I turned it off and then I got up and watched it and sure enough, he fucking did qualifying pole, so that was a bit shit. Quali 3, who went out? Didn't Senna go out, but he got the right arse on with Byrne.
Yeah.
And gave it all the...
Did you see the hand? I've never seen someone gesticulate so badly as he did.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
To the like complete detriment of his own lap.
Yeah.
like abandoned his lap just to go...
It was a bit nuts, though, that they were all slowing down for... They were saying, oh, why isn't there some kind of regulation about it? Surely they can tell all the guys, look, you cannot slow down at that point of the circuit.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty dangerous.
But I can understand why they do, because you're just about to start another flyer.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the circuit layout, I think, at the end of the day. He got a penalty, didn't he, for it, so that's probably fair.
They showed the onboard of Webber when De Resta went through, and they created their own chicane. That was mental.
Yeah.
You see how dangerous it is.
It's pretty scary from the onboard cameras. Yeah, it looks mental. But yeah, so there was no real shocks there, to be honest. Like, you would probably have Bruno in the group of people that is likely to... I mean, occasionally someone good goes out in Q3, but it's largely a formality, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just get rid of the shit team.
Schumacher was lucky to get through to Q2.
He left it very late. Do you reckon he was just kind of playing psychological games with his team? Are you going to go out, Michael? Don't worry.
I'm retiring. I'm just, you know, a little leisurely drive around. But he was that slow that Ted Kravitz actually went down to the Mercedes garage to ask if the car was broken. They were like, no, it's fine. Just incredibly slow.
He's got the handbrake on.
It's just like, yeah. That's kind of been... the Mercedes were nowhere this weekend at all.
They were absolutely nowhere. Lewis has got to be pleased about that, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, he must just be thinking, oh, God.
Yeah.
And it's going to be me next season. But, yeah, he's going to have to get used to losing a lot more. It was the Sauber's that were the...
The Sauber's, yeah.
The standout, really, weren't they?
I mean, I think it was a bit of an anticlimax with Raikkonen fucking up right at the end and everyone had to ditch their laps, but the commentators didn't help by going, oh, that's it then. Then quite a few of the drivers did go faster, but they'd just completely written it off. And to be honest, it was already the Red Bulls looking out the front with Jensen in third, so it wouldn't have fucking changed anything.
No, it wouldn't really.
But yeah, it was a bit shit that they all had to suddenly lift off. And yeah, it just looked like the Red Bulls ominously... And really,
horrible,
it kind of just had this horrible flashback to last season of like, oh, you c***. They're just going to drive off. And that's what happened. But it's never good when you see the Red Bulls lining. I mean, maybe if you're a Red Bull supporter, that's probably just what you want.
Yeah, well done. But yeah, they cut back to Adrian Newey looking really smug. I mean, I would be smug if I was him.
He is entitled to be smug.
He is entitled to be smug, but I'm just like, oh, God, is this it?
I don't know what it is I don't like about Red Bull. I have never really worked it out. I mean, I should be a fan of theirs. Like, their driver seems... Vettel does seem like a nice guy.
He seems very nice out of the car, doesn't he? Yeah,
you kind of want to like him. Occasionally, he's a bit cringy, but they all have that in them, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. I like Mark Webber.
Mark Webber. He is a... I don't know if I do like Mark Webber. I think you kind of have respect for him, but he's really serious. I reckon I just get this image of him as like the really serious PE teacher at school. That it just, you know, you've got to take it really fucking seriously all the time. And yeah, for an F1 driver, that's great, but there just doesn't seem to be much humour about the man. And also his face is freakishly skeletal.
Yeah, he does.
Looking at him upsets me a little bit.
And there's also his enthusiasm. I think this is probably, someone else has noted this, I'm just going to jump on it, but Mark Webber, before and after a race, you'd see a shadow of a man. It doesn't matter if he's run one or not.
Yeah,
it's just...
I just think he has two modes. He's either in, you know, on your iPod when you accidentally hit like double speed or half speed.
He's They're the only two double speed before a race.
And then half speed, he's never in the middle. He's either going at the end of everything he says, which does my fucking head in, or speaks at a million miles an hour.
Like, whoa, it's just has amphetamines. Maybe that's his pre... Yeah, he's on the come down towards the end of the race. That is Harry. That's his pre-race routine.
Yeah.
One thing, Christian Horner, I mean, it doesn't look like he's got the best taste in things anyway, but, I mean, the hair and stuff. Just
he's pretty embarrassing. Blanket. If you look at photos of him from, like, 10, 15 years ago, he was so the nerdy kid that no one wanted to be
he had,
seen with.
Talking of, because we were talking about jewellery earlier, which reminded me that he had a gold pinky ring on today.
No
I was
way.
Like, that is not acceptable.
You know, that's blatantly supporting some really, like, worthwhile charity.
No, 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 I think he just thinks it looks really good. Adrian gave it to him after their first win.
Lewis, inexplicably, I don't know what's got into him this week, but he's suddenly really slow at driving Formula One cars. So.
He's getting himself into practice for next season, I think.
Yeah, he wanted to get a look at some of the Force Indias and stuff.
get familiar with those. So we should probably move on to the race.
To the race.
Okay, so, renowned first corner. It was always going to be interesting.
Yeah, and it kind of was, but it was a bit... It was strange. It wasn't spectacular. I mean, after the last few races with Goujon getting in there and mixing things up, they've all seemed a little bit tame.
So where's that guy who keeps crashing in the first corner?
But he did what he was there to do. He caused an accident, but he just didn't do it with the flair that he normally brings.
I was a little disappointed.
To proceedings. I mean, the main crash, I guess, was Alonso going out. So obviously that's brilliant. That's great for the title. But then... that needed to be accompanied really by Vettel going out and a total mix-up.
Yeah.
It's good for the title. A race between those two would still be entertaining, I reckon.
Between
Alonso and Vettel.
But,
you know, if that's close, that will still be quite exciting. They're both really good drivers.
No, I was really disappointed because, I can't see... I think now that gap is down to 4 points, I think it's going to be really difficult for Alonso with that car to do anything. So I was quite disappointed that he went out.
Yeah, I mean, something they said in the commentary as well is that Webber, for the remaining races, Webber is going to take more points off Alonso than Massa is going to take off of Vettel, which is a fucking understatement.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's finished ahead of him in a single race this season. Vettel's probably had some DNFs, hasn't he? But
Yeah,
Massa is just fucking rubbish. He, even though he's a good aerodynamic aide, he's not going to provide the support that Webber might. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame. We've still got some things to look forward to, though. We've still got tracks that we don't know, really.
Austin, that's going to be good.
Yeah. Have we got the Indian one again?
Yes, again.
We've had that one.
I don't remember that being terribly entertaining last year.
Maybe they've learned it this time. Yeah. They've all played a bit better.
They've been playing F1. But yeah, Goujon. You keep all the Goujon getting mixed up. Grosjean's crash was, like you say, not quite spectacular enough. And I'm trying to imagine what he would be like. You imagine he's the sort of guy that's like at the, you know, when they open a new IKEA, and people get stampled on, people die. He's there at the front. I bet he's first in the lunch queue, elbows out.
He looks really eager, doesn't he? Yeah. He looks really eager, but incredibly frail. So he's always right at the front, and with no one else around him, and practices all fast and stuff, and then when the bigger boys come,
it's like I said to you, like, I play the F1 game, and qualifying is fucking boring, so I don't bother with that. Just go straight into the race. I'm at the back, and I think, well,
I just won't break.
I just won't break. I'm going to go all the way to the front.
Wait until I ricochet through everyone.
And if I crash, then I just start again. I think that's what Roman thinks he's doing. He's like,
I'll just start again next week. Never
mind. Like, no, you're not getting the next week this time.
No, it does seem to be that that's his plan. He does just go for ridiculously ambitious things. He's got no concept of preservation.
I have people like him. When I get in the train in the morning, I'll have been waiting, you know, nowhere near where the doors are. There'll be somebody who walks up onto the platform, runs late, pushes in front of me first onto the train. That is Roman.
Yeah,
except
then he trips over the step onto the train, knocks himself out, and everyone walks into the train. That's great.
So he was not very popular afterwards either. I haven't seen all the post-race stuff.
Never heard so many, not even Maldonado didn't get it quite as bad, and he got slagged off.
Can you imagine if
them
two on the front grid? I think everyone would go, actually, we're going to start a few places back.
Yeah. Can we start from fifth and sixth and just let them take each other down? Yeah.
Will he get another ban? He can't.
Yeah,
really,
I kind of thought that at the time, but I don't think they can because they've given him the 10-second stop and go, and that's you don't often see stop. I'm trying to think of an example of something that's got incurred a stop and go. Like, a drive-through is pretty harsh, so for a stop and go as well, it's like you've got to, that's them saying you've been a real fucking idiot.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone else would have got that stop and go at this stage. They're like, we don't need to make an example of this guy.
But at the same time, I think that means that we're not then going to stop and go. I think that would be harsh.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I only saw one replay of that because I was still kind of, you know, a bit bleary-eyed at that stage of the race. I only saw one replay, so I haven't really formed my own opinion of whether it was his fault or not, but the fact that they gave him a stop and go probably means that they probably had a look at it. Probably looked some of the
they didn't do like my teacher did when they were marking my home and going, Tom, C, G, maybe.
Grosjean, stop and go.
Stop and go. The best bit was the interviews afterwards, actually. I haven't seen everyone's reaction, but he was getting back pretty bad mouthed, apparently.
Yeah, and he did get slagged.
The person interviewing him afterwards, he was looking very glum, actually. He's usually a very smiley guy.
He is
weirdly. So.
Yeah, I would say almost unjustified in his chirpiness after races.
Why are you so happy? Yeah.
He's like, he just can't believe he's there. Can he?
this is
brilliant. Because he had that one go, and it's like they gave him a little go, and he was a bit shit, and he came back, and then he showed some promise. And now, just the fact that he cemented his place, even for a season, it's like every day is a bonus to him.
Yeah,
and he's just so rosy-cheeked and happy. But
he was miserable as sin after this one, because the commentator, the person who was going up to him, he was going, everyone's been bad-mouthing you. Mark Webber said you've ruined his race. Team principals have known about you. He probably hasn't even heard it. He's like, oh, right, okay. And he was not reacting to it.
Yeah,
so it's like they were trying to get a rise out of him as well.
What can you say, though? I mean, actually, what you could say was, it was my fault and I apologise.
He just went,
meh.
Kind of shrugged it off.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have what's the word? You know, he doesn't have the respect amongst the paddock.
Yeah.
To get away with doing that, like, I think you've got to be quite grovelling in your first few seasons to ingratiate yourself with everyone and like really go, it was my mistake and stuff like that. And you do notice young drivers doing that and being a lot more humble. And then, you know, you end up winning a few races or a world championship or whatever, and you see the arrogance creep into all of them and this kind of sense of entitlement. And I think it's very rare that you see a driver that carries on the kind of humility. And I think that's why I like Jensen, is that you very rarely hear Jensen go, like, even if it's someone else's fault, he can be pissed off and he can be a bit like, well, what can I say? You know, he obviously made a mistake. He doesn't just slag off other drivers and he will still say, it was my fault. And like anyone, like, you know, sometimes he can be a bit embarrassed and he's like, oh, they had a braking issue, we'll have to see what happened there. It's like, yeah, you missed your braking point, so you crashed.
He was like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. But this one is, I can't apologise again. I'm running out.
Yeah, I think probably there's a point at which his PR people are probably saying, it makes it look like it's your fault all the time. You've got to just try and get away with one. Just take the Schumacher approach nothing.
The weird thing was that he was refusing to answer it by going, I've been being very careful since my ban. What about today then? What about today's race where you totally fucked Mark Webber?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't seen it. You so need I can't to really see comment, it. But it's pretty awkward for him.
Pretty awkward. But they weren't getting the reaction they were hoping out of it. I thought they were going to start like, you know, so oh, yeah, Lewis said your mum's.
Your mum was like, what?
I wanted to talk about Kamui and his overtaking technique that no one else seems to have cottoned onto. Do you remember it in Brazil? I think it must have been last season or the season before. There's a hairpin on there that he overtook about eight drivers on. It was mental.
Yeah, I do remember.
And then today as well, he takes hairpins in a totally different way to everyone else. Like,
locks up the brakes, goes in sideways, yeah. Trust that they'll get out of the way.
Yeah. I'm like, why isn't everyone else doing this? It seems it's what, obviously
does he go wide
wrong.
And cut in, or is he going up the inside?
Well,
and
I guess
out?
There are ways you can take it. It's just I don't know why it is, but he seems to always overtake people on hairpins so much. But I think it's maybe just
describe
the
this
balls
technique.
I can't describe it without a pen and paper, so this is gonna be rubbish. All I'm saying is Kamui, quite good on hairpins.
Watch,
next.
Watch Kamui on hairpins.
He's brilliant.
He's good at going around corners. When do you think that's it? Because maybe his natural driving style is to just perpetually... He does. It's true. I've worked it out, Tom. He drives with so much fucking oversteer. And the only corners that work when he's got to keep going all the way to this
all
point.
All
180 degrees.
Massive
dagger
boppo.
He just thinks they're 90 degree corners. He hasn't noticed their hairpins.
But I do like Kamui a lot. I think he's...
Yeah.
He's
I especially
cool
like the like really... like kind of disjointed interviews that he gives where he doesn't really understand the question. He obviously is like a really nice guy and they ask the most like verbose questions to him that you can see, and I don't know why they can't see in his eyes that he has no fucking idea, and he's just going to do the same stock platitude of like, it's very good for the team and yeah, we get some points and it's good. Like, it's completely fair play to Kamui. He doesn't know what
yeah,
this is.
I mean,
most of the English people don't want to answer Johnny Herbert's questions.
No, so. No, Michael Schumacher didn't a while ago, did he?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, that's a ridiculous question.
Kobayashi is... He's annoyingly... He's a bit too good, really. Like,
he's sanitised his kind of
he's turned it down
a
little bit. And he's not in the fastest car, so I think Kobayashi in a fast car would be brilliant because he'd either win or he'd take out seven people with him.
Well, it's like... You just thought, there is no way Button is going to be allowed past him. He will, like, punch the car
to
not let him past.
Totally.
Just do not try and overtake this man. He's in Japan going for third place. But
Yeah, that's it. And it is always nice to see a home driver doing well. You could hear the crowd.
Yeah.
Right, so that's always
politely
good.
Clapping.
Politely clapping. Admittedly, not as raucous as the Italian fans. But still, yeah, it's good to have, you know, in the context of the race, it's quite good that he got the podium, I think.
The other interesting thing was they showed the onboard of Massa into that first corner, and he was an incredible way back. And I imagine is as he was going towards that corner was him screaming. Just looking at the corner going, I don't know what to do! And Ross Smedley's going, calm down, Felipe!
Prick.
It was the distance between him and the rest of the cars.
Yeah, I know what you mean, actually.
He was so far back. I don't understand.
When you watch on boards with everybody else, normally you're like, fucking hell, they're so close. How do they react? And with Felipe, you're kind of like, yeah, that's about where I'd be. Yeah, just a good safe 10 car lengths behind.
It's like he was so scared to get in there, but, you know. Oh,
yeah, no, that does make me laugh. I like to imagine that's my favourite game watching F1 is every time it cuts to a view of Felipe, is I just act out the conversation that he's having with Smedley. Now, left hand Felipe, left hand down Felipe.
Let us listen to some of the onboards. It is things like that.
You need to go a bit faster. You need to overtake.
Oh, but second place. Unbelievable. The best thing was the horrible cringeworthy. Actually, it wasn't too cringeworthy this time. Interviews.
Did they
the
do
podium,
the podium interviews?
The podium
I was
interview.
Back asleep.
It was Jean Alesi, who's actually much better than I imagined he was going to
really?
Be. And he was talking to Vettel about Alonso. Not, but he was like, "Oh, did you know that Alonso wasn't in the race?" And he said, "Yes, I looked up at the boards with the names on, and saw that." Felipe was in second, so I knew that. It's like, brilliant. because obviously...
There's literally no way that could happen otherwise.
For several reasons.
Yeah.
Number one being he would have told to get out of the fucking way. Oh, dear.
One thing I did like in the race, we haven't talked about him yet, because to be honest with you, I've got no idea where he finished, but Schumacher Shumi. What did he do? I heard Crofty at one point go, well, no, it was Brundle, in fact, say, and I can't believe I just called him Crofty, because I do that ironically, because it really fucks me off that they've got, like, oh yeah, you're so matey with our commentators, you called him Crofty. It's David Croft. It was Brundle that said...
Brumby.
Just as, I think he made an overtake, and Brundle went, oh, Schumacher doesn't look like a man that's about to retire. I kind of thought, well, what's he expecting? What does a man in an F1 car that's about to retire look like?
Has he got like a print of a Spitfire or something? Yeah. And
he's got a map out over
everyone's
steering.
His car.
He's driving the wrong way up the pits looking for a space. I won't fit in there.
Rosberg, did he finish the race?
Who knows with Rosberg? It's so irrelevant.
I did see that they were talking to him about Lewis coming into his team. He's like, another terrible
incident. That is something I want to see with him. I haven't heard any of his reactions.
Like, how do you feel about Lewis coming in?
He must be gutted, really, mustn't he? He's been waiting for the team to be about him. And
how do you feel?
And they mates as
well. Yeah, well, this is what they said. They were like, won't it be nice, you and Lewis, you were friends when you were in kart. It was like, you can almost see him like going, yeah, but Lewis wasn't a prick when we were doing kart, and he is now, and I'm not looking forward to it.
You can see, like, I think you've said it before about the deterioration in the relationship between Jensen and Lewis.
Mm.
As Jensen's gone, oh, this is great, I've got someone else that's English, you know, I've been with Barrichello, which, whilst I found Barrichello quite humorous, I don't think it would be that much fun being in a team with him, because he was basically a middle-aged man that cried all the time. Rosberg must just be livid. He's like, yeah, I've got this guy that is better than me, the same age, that is like nominally my friend, so I can't just be a total dickbag to him in the pit lane all the time. and he's just like a total prima donna, and he's gonna, you know, the team's gonna have to all be about him. And every time I beat him, he's gonna tweet my telemetry.
Yeah, he's gonna tweet some dodgy photo of me.
So yeah, sorry, what were you saying?
No, they did an interview with him where he was. Being quite honestly saying, yeah, I know I'm going to a team with a worse car that wants to build it up around me. So he's kind of laying the groundwork for, yes, I know I'm not going to be as fast. My favourite game was imagining that he just said he was going to HRT. all of the interviews were like, yeah, they're going to a team where the car is struggling a bit, but the guys there have all got big aspirations.
I'm
going
to watch back all of those.
Just imagine he's going to a teammate with Carter Kane next season.
Yeah.
And he does refer to his teammate in there as well. So,
but he, the first race after he announces his move, and it's like, inexplicably, Lewis has got no pace, and he's going, oh, I don't know, guys, I don't know, I just can't find it. But Jensen is a second quicker than he's never been put, and this week, but you don't. No, sorry, guys, I'm getting it. Lewis, you've got 5 extra laps left on your tyres. Are you pushing? Yeah, guy, I'm really going for it. But I think, just nothing else in the car, to be honest.
You know what?
I might just pit.
I think he's going to try and totally fuck with McLaren before next season. He's going, you know what, guys? I think we need... let's let down the tyres to half inflation. He's going to get them to put all kinds of strange shit on his car. Needs a little bit more weight, I think, for 2013.
Lewis should be like, yeah, I think we should just have DRS open, because, I mean, it makes us go faster, right? So why do we close it?
I'd love to think that he's just totally giving them all the like mad feedback, thinking next season that car is just going to be undrivable. Yeah. Enjoy that, Sergio. Raikkonen's wing broke at some point, a bit of it.
Oh, yeah, and they went, it's a bit that doesn't matter.
It don't matter, don't worry about it. I imagine they say that to HRT, oh, the engine's fallen out, don't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
It's not one of the bits that matters.
Yeah.
The driver's fallen out, doesn't matter.
Don't matter. Don't matter. We'll do the same anyway. Oh. Who is paying for sponsorship of HRT? That's what I said. They're getting mugged off.
I don't know. Do you know what? I can't believe that I didn't hear anyone making this joke last season. I'm sure it got made. But when they put those sponsorship, they were one of the first teams to really openly say, yeah, we've got paid drivers, we don't give a fuck. And then they put stickers on their car saying, your name. No, they said, this could be you. They literally meant,
if you can pay enough.
If you can pay enough.
You can sit in this and go slowly. But they don't get any TV coverage, so I don't understand how
they
works.
Redeem their money. It must just all be.
Is it just a vanity project?
Corporate
for
bullshit.
They don't know.
They redeem it by putting on enough, you know. Their sponsors get to come to the Grand Prix. They're not necessarily there to watch the HRT. They're like, do you want a tour around the garage? She's like, I've been to an Esso before, it's fine. I've been to QuickFit.
So
So congratulations on making it through this far in the podcast, if you've persevered with it up to this point. I don't know what's wrong with you, but
yeah, well done. If you, we've kind of just, I think we've covered the race in very small part.
Yeah, we listened back to it during the editing process and realised that basically we described the first corner and then ceased to talk about the race and just slagged the Lewis Hamilton for about half an hour.
That's fine.
So yeah, hopefully there'll be a bit more continuity as we
can't be guaranteed. But if you're a Lewis Hamilton fan, you probably haven't made it this far anyway.
Yeah, they're not listening.
They're not listening anymore. But we hope you enjoy it. Leave some comments. If you've got any bad comments, obviously keep them to yourself. If you've got any good ones, then yeah, by all means, give us a wonderful rating and hopefully more than one person, more than us, will listen to it. And
if we can get three.
Three. Okay, three listens, then we'll do another one. Cool. So, and that will be next week, hopefully. Yeah. Anyway,
Korean Grand Prix.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.